You know the permanent casting out? When you are the chief controller, that is the man who, instead of shouting, come out, you drive out everybody that's not agreeing with you in the entertainment industry and say, anybody broadcast nonsense, his job is gone. That Satan is out permanently. Do you understand the point I'm making? That is, Satan was out of Israel as long as David was king. You follow what I'm trying to say? All Satan will try to do is tell David, since small now, once David says no, the only time plague entered Israel, listen to me, was when the king sinned, not when the people sinned themselves. It was always the kings. Listen to what I'm saying. Go and read your story. The Bible said these things were recorded for our learning. It was always the kings. Are you getting my point? When God wanted to judge the house of Jeroboam, he said for the iniquity that he did, which he caused Israel to sin. No, that's how God does it though. He said it was the kings. Usually when a king, at a point in time, had caused the whole nation to sin, when the other king will come, what's the first thing he starts doing? He starts breaking down the altars. It's always the king in charge that determines what went on in there. That's why the Bible says that he's the Lord of lords and what? The King of kings. You have to get this point. That God is saying that there are people who have made kings of entertainment. I was thinking about it just now as I was coming up. I said, possibly, now please get this, understand what I'm saying. A lot of people have been able to sit properly in their thrones of kingship in life by not being serious Christians. Let me explain what I'm saying. Because our orthodoxy, that is, the way we practice things in the church, is that there are things that Christians must never do. You know, if everybody was in deeper life, Satan would sit on entertainment forever. If everybody was in, is it Christ or the Apostolic Church? One of the Apostolic Faith, yes. Hospitals will be run only by unbelievers. Because they say, eh? At least, I don't know about now. Those days. Because they said, no. God forbids that we should take medicine of any sort. So the only person who wants to sit on his throne as he's been called by God, he doesn't go to church regularly. Pastor will call him on serious. He's lukewarm. Call him all kinds of names. But the problem is faulty teaching. That has been the problem. Not as if the man was not willing to be a serious person in your own context, though. It's just that once he puts on the cloak of seriousness that you understand, instantly he loses his throne. When he wants to sing, it must be in your presence, that's where I am strong. God said, didn't you ever read your Bible? He said, what do you mean, Lord? Songs of Solomon says, how beautiful thou art, my beloved. Why don't you sing a love song for goodness sake? So that when Kingsley will see something to sing when the time comes. No, you understand my point? You ladies, you understand? If you are sitting down and the man comes and say, amen, let's just worship the Lord, you will go somewhere else now. What are you talking about? What is it? Is it worship the Lord? Is it go and worship? Does this place look like church? No, me, I'm going to crunches. Are you getting my point? I'm bringing up some points here. That when they talked about kings, listen, God has created everybody as a king in a certain area. It's important we understand this. There is a place where you are king. What I'm emphasizing is that you have to understand that your assignment is to enthrone the authority of God there by taking over that kingdom. Remember we talked about training to reign, take hold of the kingdom. Once the kingdom of God is established in you, then you start stretching your hands to dominate the areas of your calling for God. Do you follow the point I'm making here? That is, if the man is in academics, his life is the kingdom of everywhere he goes, that is God's kingdom established. Therefore, to have a small vision is iniquity. Oh, should I say that again? That is, the Bible says, of the increase of his government and of peace, there shall be no end. Therefore, if any one of his kings decide that this place is enough for us, then he's in iniquity. He's working against the purpose of God. Are you getting my point? Listen, we are not talking about covetousness. We are talking about kingdom taking. We are talking about the spread of the knowledge of God. We are talking about enthroning, effecting the lordship of Jesus Christ in every sphere of life. Listen to me, it is a fact. Solomon said, "There is an evil I saw under the sun. There was a great king who came against a small city. And in that small city, there was a poor and wise man." Read in the Good News Bible. It says, "Who could have delivered the city by his wisdom, but nobody remembered him?" Most Bible says, "Who delivered the city, but nobody remembered him?" That's an irony. It doesn't fit. He said, "He could have delivered the city, but nobody remembered him." Now listen, Job was not just honored because he was a wise and righteous man. It was also because he was a man of influence. Listen, there is a place, I'm not disputing it, for priests and prophets. It is good. But most people are not supposed to be priests, and most people are not supposed to be prophets. You follow what I mean by priests and prophets? You get my point? Call to ministry does not mean you to go and rent a hall and be preaching at 5 o'clock on Saturdays. You are all called to ministry. Do you understand what my point? Everybody is called to ministry. If you understand that and you take your area of calling in life as a ministry, you will do it with seriousness. Then you will not stop. You will stop hopping up and down just because of money. There are people whose destinies have been bought because they paid them well. Did you hear what I said? Let me tell you, it is good to be uncomfortable as a young man. It is very good, though. It is very good, though, to be uncomfortable, for you to sit down, for pin to shook you in ash. When you try to sit, it's good. You won't sit down too long. When they give you a very comfortable chair, when you are very young, you are in danger. May the chair catch fire. No, I'm telling you. I know what I'm saying. Because it will stir you up. It will get you to wake up so that you can go to where God is going. There was one quotation which I read. I was reading a book by John Mason. He quoted something that was spoken by Helen Keller. I don't know how many of us know of Helen Keller. Helen Keller said, "Security is mostly a superstition. It does not exist in nature, nor the children of men as a whole experience it." He said, "Avoiding danger is no safer on the long run than outright exposure." He said, "Life is either a daring adventure or nothing." Spoken by a woman who was blinded and rendered deaf and dumb at the age of a year, less than 2 years, by sickness. When I read this, you see, it was after I was speaking about the cure for fear, that a lot of people are looking for security. Helen Keller said, "I should please tell you tonight that it's a superstition. It doesn't exist." You follow my point? That's why it has always irritated me when people tell me that, in UK, in US, you can plan for your children. Helen Keller said it doesn't exist. He said, security, they know that, what are we looking for in life again? Helen Keller said, "I should let you know that security in life does not exist. That life is a simple, daring adventure, or you are not living at all." I told you that I was reading the story of Paul Getty. The man during the war, he said, "Let me go and fight for freedom." At that time, he was one of the richest men in his country. Yet nobody conscripted him. He wrote, volunteering to command a ship. He said, because he has some experience in navigation and all that, "They should please give him sea duty." They told him that the only duty we have for you is an administrator on the shore, that is on land. He said, "I don't want that. I want to go to battle." And they said, "Sorry. This is a man who had made so much money." He said, "No, let us go and fight for freedom." Helen Keller said, "Avoiding danger is no safer on the long run than just exposing yourself outright." That is, you don't have a good job now as a young man, you are not at a higher danger than the man that's earning ₦1 million a month. And for you earning ₦1 million a month, you are not safer at all than that guy who hasn't got one right now. A man spoke once to his friend. He said the greatest mistake he made in life was taking the job he took. He said, "Why?" He said, "Because he's too well paid." "That's not a problem." "No, not yet."
So the problem he has now is that he has brought up a family with that high-paying job. He can't come out. But he knows that he's useless. His life is not going anywhere. He's running around in circles just having a highly paid job. Listen, one of the ways, even if you are Satan, uncle, and you can make money, you know what I'm saying? You will use money to buy people now. Even if it was you that was Satan, you would do it also. So Satan does it all the time. When you see a man too dangerous, you offer him something beyond. That is why you have to keep dreaming. What I'm saying is important. So that don't let Satan cap your imagination at a particular level. This is very, very important. Oh. Because a man has never expanded his horizon. He's doing one small job today. They now offer him a job, $500,000 a month. Ha! He doesn't consider any other thing that this one is not in line with my passion and my vision for life. What will I be doing here? He doesn't ever consider it. Why? Because in all his imaginations, anyway, that's the problem with thinking about yourself alone. You are not thinking about the impact you can make in life. Listen, if you wake up every day treating your life as a calling, as a mission, there are things you won't do. I told you, that's one reason why nobody has been able to entice me to want to go abroad. It's not because America is a bad place. I have friends there, good people. It's not because Europe is a bad place. That's not what I'm talking about. But I see life as a mission. Because a lot of the messages I preach here, it would be stupidity to a man in Norway, possibly. He doesn't understand. He doesn't have the challenges that you have. Do you get what I'm trying to say? That is, listen, I travel. Do you know, this week that passed, I was on the road 4 days of the week. Have you noticed that no matter where I go, Saturday I'm back here? One day my friend was saying, let's go for a conference in Germany. Look, door open, let's go. I said, is he crossing weekend? Conference, so it's not a sin. No. We are still working on it, whether I will be able to squeeze time. He said, no, Banky, you have to come now. You know, there's a reason why, you know, there's a reason why he wanted me to come also. I was looking like, did he go cross Saturday? He said, I know, so you get meeting on Saturday. We can come back on Friday. I said, okay, more the lookout. I've never been to Germany. So don't think I hate the country. I don't hate the country. But I love Saturdays in Enugu. It is true. You hardly, a cousin of mine's wedding, the other day my mom called me, we were talking. And preparations, and I said, mom, before we go on, you know I'm not coming. No. I said, I know. I said, thank you. So let's continue our discussion. No. I don't. I'm not saying it's wrong to go for. Look, another of my cousins wedded. Good enough, he wedded in December. I drove the same distance. He wedded in the same town, our hometown. I performed my pastor in Norvex. That no one goes for in life without offending a few people. No, that is a fact. Say, I'll not come your wedding. You know, by the way, let me just teach you a small principle. Just be financially present. Your physical presence is not important. Are you the chairman of the ceremony? Just be financially present and you're okay. You know of a truth. A lot of weddings, some weddings you go for. If all the people will bring 500 naira, you will prefer itself. They will reduce your expenditure on food. And then you look at it. By the time they give 500 naira, you find after the wedding, you go and buy your wife a small car. You are a happier man. Anyway, I hope you are getting the point I'm making. That is, if you see life as a mission, there are certain things that you don't take. That's what I'm saying. But let me settle down the main thing I'm saying today. That is, yes, when you start in life, you will begin small. But the sin is when you settle down and you are happy there. As I'm not talking about being satisfied for the moment. Contentment is being satisfied for the moment, knowing that tomorrow will be better. Knowing that you're on your way somewhere. Do you understand my point? Let me give you an example. I was driving back from Benin on Thursday, right? Now, for every 1 hour I drove, I killed slightly over maybe about 100 kilometers. So though I had not yet gotten to Enugu, I was content with wherever I was at every point in time. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? So after driving 45 minutes from Benin, and I find myself maybe at Seluku, it was good. I was content to be in Seluku, knowing that I'm just on the way to Enugu. After 2.5 hours, and I was at Oka, I was content to be in Oka. That is contentment. Because I know I'm on my way to where?
Enugu. My spirit will be ruffled if after 4 hours I'm still in Oka. That means my car has broken down or the road is blocked.
Do you get the point I'm making here?
After 2 hours from Benin to Enugu, I don't wish I was in Enugu. No, I know it doesn't happen. Once you're not flying, you don't have your own private jet or helicopter that's taking you down, and you're coming by car, your own car you are driving. 2 hours, you will not be in Enugu yet. So contentment, listen, is knowing that 2 hours gets you only as far as maybe Onitsha, and you stay in Onitsha. You are still in Onitsha. It's good. But there's what the Bible calls complacency. Complacency is when you have driven 40 kilometers and you see you're in Agbo. And say, Agbo is good. What are we doing anyway? What is a man looking for in life? Is it not just to have a house? See house here? Yeah? Is it not water? See stream here? Yeah? You know, let us sit down here and camp. God say, that is what destroys the fool. Proverbs chapter 1. That's what it says. If you go and read King James, it says the prosperity of the fool, that is what destroys him. That's Proverbs chapter 1 verse 32. Every other version I checked used the word complacency. New Living Translation said the careless ease of the fool. The literal Hebrew actually says prosperity. But there's a reason why every translation used the word, because they took it in context. What were they saying? That is, the fool prospers a little and is happy. He said, what is a man? You know how poor people talk. I was telling you about this book, How to Be Rich by Paul Getty. Read it, you will learn a lot from it. It's not a scriptural book, you know my point, but there's a lot of truth in it. He talked about the millionaire mentality. You ask an average person, what's a millionaire's mentality? To drive a big car, live in a big house, have a jacuzzi. Even though doesn't know what a jacuzzi is, he just saw it, he heard somebody talking about it. The guys are speaking all kinds of lofty words that don't have any meaning. But in short, all he's saying is that for a man to live big. But I read what this man calls a millionaire's mentality. He said, a man who knows how to avoid waste. That's what he calls a millionaire. That when a man gets to a company, he sees that instantly he has seen where the company is losing money. And he starts clipping off those areas. He will tell you that what's a millionaire? That a man doesn't have to travel first class if third class is comfortable enough. That if owning a private jet is not going to save him money and time, why own one? What is the issue of trying to show off that you have money? That is what he calls a millionaire's mentality. Do you understand the point I'm making here? You get what I'm saying? Now, this is a poor man's mentality. I want to explain some things. You hear it said all the time. The man will say, what is a man looking for in life? You have a car for yourself, one for your wife. Your children can go to good school. You have a house. I don't know what people are looking for. They're just amassing wealth. What are they looking for? I mean, if you just have a car, what more? You can pay your children's school fees. Listen to me. That's a poor man's mentality. A selfish man's mentality. A man who doesn't love anybody's mentality. One story I read from Robert Kiyosaki's Rich Dad. He was talking about his Rich Dad, Poor Dad. He said he and his Rich Dad spoke. And Rich Dad said, poor people say rich people are very, very greedy. And they want to have everything. He said, in actual fact, it's the poor, so-called poor people that the ones that really, really are very greedy and only think about themselves. He said, rich man, he wants to have 50 houses. Rich Dad said, that is true, but he lives in only one and rents out 49. Making it possible for those who don't have houses to have a place to stay. I don't have a house of my own. I pay my landlord very good rent every year. All of us don't have to build houses before we live in one. But if he had the average man's mentality, in one house, just for him and his family. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? I'm bringing out a point. When we're talking about having a vision, you have to understand that life is bigger than you. You get my point? That once you can buy a car for yourself, your wife and your children, send them to school, and that's all you have achieved, you may as well die now. You get my point? You are not doing anything for anybody. That is why, you know, when people tell him that they don't have many children, no, because the country is hard. I say, you shouldn't be preaching such gospels to people like me. Because my plan in life has been to pay fees and sponsor thousands to school. So to just educate 10 children that my wife and I will have, is that the one that I will not be complaining about?
All the women are, I mean, like, I hope that's a joke. Do you understand what I'm trying to say?
That is, if you want to preach another gospel, preach it, look for another way to preach it to me by having only 2-3 children. But if it's a country, it's hard. You have spoken to the wrong person. Paying fees is not one of my considerations. Buying clothes for them or buying food for them is not at all one of my considerations. That's taken for granted. You understand my point? It's taken for granted. What we are calculating is, how do we buy more food for other people and buy clothes for people? The other day I told my wife, I said, you know, you're always sewing clothes. No, you know, women never have clothes. I've never seen a woman has clothes on. Have you ever seen? They don't have clothes on. I don't know, women, they don't have clothes. How can women have clothes? They don't have shoes. They don't have bags. I know that my wife doesn't have shoes. She does not have bags. She doesn't have clothes. She doesn't have jewelry. She doesn't have anything. Poor girl. I mean, she never comes. No, I'm serious. Kingsley, your wife will never have clothes. She will never have shoes. She will never have bags. She will never have chain. No. I know. Now, so it be. Then you enter the wardrobe. I say, what about this? Can this one is green? This one is purple? Okay, where is the yellow and brown now? Okay. So, no, that one I have found out. Don't worry. Guys, don't complain. Your wives will never have enough clothes. Don't worry about it. Don't even try to make them have enough. It is not possible. Eh? Anyway, let me get to what I'm saying. No, and my wife is a very good person. She's willing to, everybody break through them. You know, it's true. No, really, really. The problem is sometimes logistics. You know, she's a bit tall. So most of them, they don't fit most people that where she knows she could keep them to people. You get what I'm saying? But it's one I'm making. If I want to make two, all right? That is, anytime you make one, I give one out. I can do it. You follow what I'm saying? And that is what makes me a rich man. Not that every time you see my wife, she wears the most expensive. That is not the point. That is not the point. So when a man comes to preach to me that have only one wife because you can't buy enough clothes for 10 wives, I say, I'm going to have only one wife because that is what God commands. I can effectively take care of 5 wives if I need to because I'm a blessed man. But God has commanded otherwise. In the same manner, I'm coming from that angle to bring out the point. I can have 20 children. I can care for them. My vision is the multitudes that I have not seen, who I will never see, that I will be caring for. That's the rich man's mentality. What I'm saying, is it making sense to you? You are getting my point. That's why I don't enjoy testimonies of, last week I gave 5,000 naira. This week the Lord gave me 50,000. There is not testimony in it. We know the Lord gives. You are not hearing what I'm saying? We are not surprised. So what have you told us now? You follow the point I'm making? Our last convention, people were introducing themselves. One brother said something which I found very interesting. You know, people, you know, you come, you mention your name, where you graduated, where you work, and all that. He said that, I work for this company. And I would like all of you to know, this company is owned by one of us in this house. I said, this is the kind of story I want to hear. I said, good testimony, good story. So those are the kind of testimonies I want to hear. Now, praise the Lord, I gave out my car, now I have 3 cars. Amen. I just shift. That's no testimony that you have 5 cars. It's not a testimony. I hope you are getting what I'm trying to say.
Yes, sir.
No, you need to get this point clear. That is a millionaire's mentality. That's what we are saying. Don't forget this. I'll go into it next time because apparently I didn't get into all the things I want to say today. But let me just summarize because our time is really gone. I want us to be out of here. We have explained that God starts things small. But what I want to emphasize today is that while you are in a particular place, you must stretch forth your eyes. In your heart, let your vision be big. Don't forget that. Let your vision be big. And get this point very clear. It's very important. It is not vision of just sitting down having a wild dream. God told Abraham, he said, look from where you are. You are supposed to see the ones that you can see. Don't restrict your vision. Don't become complacent. Be content, but don't be complacent. You understand my point? That it is good for you, for the one you have now, the business you are doing now, the inventions you have made now, the reach of your companies is good for today. But if you think, now I have enough, then you're about to die. And I mean that literally. The thing that sustains something in life alone, this is the only thing, is growth. Listen to me, those of you who are going to plant companies. If you are planting a company, listen, if you are starting a business, this is a fact of life. The only way to be sustained, to keep it alive, is that it continues to grow. It must never stop growing. Look, there is no business that remains number one if it stops growing. Other people will soon overtake you. Listen, the reason why economic problems make companies collapse a lot of times was because they were complacent. They were enjoying the prosperity. What I'm saying is very, very important. You have an airline. Now you have 3 planes. That one, at least, you've calculated how much you are getting a month. Only you are. 2-3 million a month after everything. You are made care. That is the beginning of your problem. So, in fact, usually the problem is when you are thinking of yourself. You know, I keep on saying this. If you considered that 10,000 naira or 12,000 naira for a 1 hour flight is rather expensive right now in Nigeria. Not in itself, but when you consider the number of people that can take those flights. So every day you are working out how you can make more people enter your flight. From having 3 planes, in a short while you will have 20. And then suddenly you say, why don't you do international flight? From having just medium-sized jets, you start having big ones. Listen, until the day you die, the growth must never cease. That is the only way the company will not go down. Do you follow my point? A lot of people, what kills their business, they don't realize it. I told you a lot of things, people don't understand the real problem. What kills their businesses actually is that it's not growing. It is not because the economy is bad, but they are not growing. Then they start telling stories. You know why? Because the man had become complacent. There was something Paul Getty said in this book. It's so good I read this book this week, because as if, you know, I just happened to pick it up again. It's just in line with what we have been saying. He said, when a company is prospering, he said, the millionaire executive, you know what I mean by millionaire mentality man. He said he starts watching out for where they are losing money and trying to cut those things and trying to clip them. He tries to increase productivity. He said, unfortunately, people don't do it. They sit down and enjoy the economic boom. And then they want to start cutting those areas when there is a decline. He said, usually it's too late. They have already hit the panic button. They start cutting the things that are wrong. That is, the things they shouldn't cut, they start cutting. They start making adjustments in the wrong areas. When he said that, when I read that one, I understood the spiritual angle to it again. See, they had become what? Complacent. The Bible says complacency is what kills the fool. I have to take off from here next time. But there are 2 points I need to just introduce. I wanted to talk about it today, but we'll talk about it next time. You know, I was saying something just now before I went on to explain these things. That we're not talking about just sitting down and just idly dreaming. No. We are talking about visions that you are passionate about. If you can't see the vision, don't worry about it. See the one you can see first. Do you follow what I'm saying? The Okada man, let him see small buses. From there, let him see luxury buses. By the time he's getting the second or third, fifth luxury bus, he's already seen small planes. You follow what I'm saying? At least when he gets there, by the time he's getting the third, second one, he's beginning to see international flights. Because that's what God does. That's what the Bible calls being fully persuaded. Experience persuades you. Do you understand my point? When you have whipped the lion and whipped the bear, when next you see Goliath, you will say, I have done it before. Say, Goliath, you won't be the first though. I have done it before. You are getting what I'm saying? Now, so what am I talking about here? How, therefore, do you expand your vision? There are 2 ways. And that's what we'll talk about mostly next time. 2 ways you expand your vision. Number one, information. And then number 2, revelation. Or let me use the word inspiration. Both of them are the same thing, revelation, inspiration. The revelation or inspiration, you get it during meditation. Now, I'm not trying to make anything rhyme. Those are the only words that exist for them in English. Number 1 is what? Information.
Then number two, inspiration, which usually gets while meditating. Now, what I'm saying, look, listen, I'll develop them next time. But let me end by saying a word or two about the first one. A lot of people are too uninformed. My own area of calling, as you know, which is the reason why you are here, is where? What? Ministry. It's ministry. The ministry of the word. What we call ministry. Everybody has a ministry, right? But what we call ministry now, the ministry of the word, teaching, like I'm doing right now. That's my own area. For that reason, I don't read the way an average Christian would read. Well, I didn't think it was special, just that it was my passion. Which is another thing we'll talk about, the passion with which you follow something. I never read because I was trying to read. It was just my passion. What alarms me is when I talk to people who are also in ministry. And I mention a name. I say, you know, when Catherine Kuma was, they're like, what did you say? Catherine Kuma, is she a Nigerian? I say, like, what? Are you dreaming or what? You never read about? Okay, one man came to our church like 3 years ago. He said something, yes, I think I've heard it before. You're looking at the person like, if I blow you like this, I mean, you're talking. I said, look, there was something that Dawi said. He said, what? Dawi, yeah, Alexander Dawi. Man, like, ah. I said, you never heard of Dawi? No. Ah. I said, like, welcome. Do you read anything at all? I mentioned things like, you know, there was something that I read a book, another springtime, by Donald G. In fact, this popular doctrine started from Donald G. The man is looking at you like, what? Donald G. And I'm wondering, like, are we living on the same planet? No, every time, do you know, it shows in ministry. I'm telling you the truth. The other day I was talking with a friend. He's a pastor. But maybe that's not his primary calling, I don't know, all right? But we're saying some things. I don't know, let me just share. He said one particular man came. I don't like to abuse people. But sometimes I have to say some things so that people have reference. I'm telling you, I do things, sometimes I just say things so people have reference. It's very common now. It's very, very common. There are preachers for hire. Very, very common. There are men that I see. One particular man in particular. Once I see his face, I know the church needs money. I know he has called this guy to come and raise money for him. So I was talking with him. And we made a joke. So he said this man came after he finished preaching. They gave him an honorarium of... shall not mention it. Very, very big amount of money. They were like, wow. So I now made a joke. I said, and you also in that same church, this is my friend, is a pastor of one of their major branches. And I said, I will come to your church and preach five services. At the end of the day, when I'm going, to honor man of God, you just say thank you very much. You know we are very broke. You know, I was just thinking to myself in my heart too, but. And then, just by the way, maybe you just feel like, Dr. Lishan, he works. Now. I said, listen, you know, I've always told you something in life. It's not your business. Do your business. Do you get my point? Everybody has his own business. That I work doesn't concern you. What's in your hala? I have rendered you service, and God said you must not muzzle the ox that threshing out the wheat. It's a commandment. Do you understand? So I now made a joke. I said, next time I come to your church, you are going to give me $100,000, which is a fraction of what that guy was giving. Last time I came to that, their main branch. I was just gisting. They now made a statement. He said, no problem now. Just make sure you raise money for me also. I said, listen, my friend. I will not do it. Do you know why? He said, why? I said, because I love my wife and I love my children. I love you too. I don't want you to die. And I definitely don't want to die. I told him straight. I said, No. I would rather go there, leave the place, trek back home. I have friends who have done it before. They come from preaching. The people come and tell them, thank you very much. That meeting was very powerful. Thank you, sir. And they enter back into the room. The guy go, no boy, they go begin to go house. Pastor came, he didn't have money. He preached powerfully. They shook his hand powerfully and thanked him very powerfully. And he powerfully trekked back home. No, I have friends who it has happened to them. In fact, the guy who was telling me the story, this will happen to. He said, what pained him the most was that the Lord instructed him that he must always go back. Because such people, you are supposed to cut away from them. No, I'm serious. If God doesn't instruct you otherwise, you don't talk to such people. Do you know why? Because Bible says, don't cast your pearls before swine. When this guy said that thing and I answered him back, I said, listen, you know why I won't do it? I said, because I love my wife, I love my children. And I love you too. And I love your wife and children. I don't want you to die. And you can be sure this guy doesn't want to die. No, I told him in clear. The way I'm telling you now was the same way I told him. I said, you guys obviously haven't read much. No, he was telling him that, hey, you know, no, you don't understand. You know, you're not pastoring a church. I said, what are you telling him? I said, ministry. I've been doing ministry before I started pastoring a church. I may not be pastoring a church, but I've been doing this thing longer than you. Don't give me any justification for immorality. What are you telling me? Hiring mercenary preachers to come and you are a wicked man, sir. You don't consider it. The people you are preaching to, you believe they are wicked. You say, when people don't give, they don't get. I said, don't tell me that rubbish. You are not preaching to them because you want them to have. You are preaching because you have needs. After all, you just told me that your main guy now, to defend himself for giving that guy such a large amount of money, he showed your supervisors how much money he raised for them. I said, listen, my friend, I want to live long. I told him straight. He said, I don't do such things. And I told him in simple words, I said, you say you have been pastor. I said, I have been reading also. That's why I'm telling this story. As I have read stories, this is not new. Kenneth Hagin will tell you that all these people are talking about, you think is new. I saw it 50 years ago. Anointed men. What some people think that you have not seen anointing. Read the Moshakarian story, how he learned not to touch God's anointed. He saw a crook that was a man of God that was raising crippled people and opening blind eyes. This guy was a crook. Read Kenneth Hagin. He will tell you about men that the anointing was frightening. But God told him, this guy is not going to live beyond his 30s. Why? Because he likes money too much. Look, me, I get all my own warning, most of them from books. So. I've read Lester Sumra. He has taught me things. Men who have gone before, them people talk sometimes, say, you don't understand our pressures. I say, you don't understand my point. If we don't have money to pay rent here, rather than to harass anybody or cajole anybody, I will announce next meeting is in my garage. At least I still have a house to live. Did God call me and call this building? All the anointing is in my mouth. The microphone stop, we drop it. I will be talking directly. I'm telling you the truth. After all, when we started this work of Kingdom World Ministry, it was on paper, tracts. Most of you that heard of me for the first time, you read a piece of paper that somebody gave to you. So there's no money. That is money's problem. One thing God didn't call with me is money. He called me and sent money after me. You understand my point? So whether money comes or not, I'm taking the lead. I'm going my own way. I'm using to bring out an interesting point. A lot of people who claim that, you know, maybe you just have a vision, you're an entrepreneur, you are a capitalist, that God has made you a big man in the capital market. What is the full meaning of NASDAQ? You don't know. In fact, I know most of you are lost as to what NASDAQ is. I don't know the full meaning, but at least I know what NASDAQ is. If they tell you that, maybe they tell you the Nikkei average, you have no idea. And the man is going down bragging and making noise, empty noise. Meanwhile, he doesn't understand the things that have to do with the place he calls his calling. He doesn't have any understanding. I mean, pick a book and read now. The easiest and fastest way to open your vision is information. Simple information. Know where those ahead of you have reached so you can go beyond them. You know, I'm never impressed when somebody said that there's a young wizard somewhere. I said, who is the wizard? He said, one 12-year-old boy. That boy is smart. So what happened? He made a ceiling fan. You know, I hiss. Rubbish. He made a ceiling fan. His mates are writing programs that are hacking into international databases. They are making ceiling fan. How do you get away? He said, because you are all the people there are blind. The journalists are blind. They don't know anything. Say, 12-year-old boy made a ceiling fan. Me too, I was making electric set. No, it's true. You know, because I did science. As a young, I did things. What is all of these people who have never seen anything? The boy, you know, the government, federal government should encourage such brains. I just get angry. It is not because I'm angry with those young boys. I'm saying these people have not seen anything. Englishman said, you don't reinvent the wheel, do you?
No.
No, those used to irritate me. Say, one boy, I know. Look, at the age of, you know, by the time I was like 11, 12, we'll put Abbott, we'll put Abbott down and be laying copper wires. Then I'll go and buy a newspaper. He said, one boy, I just look like, what is this? What is all of this rubbish? The diagram is in Abbott. No, the diagram is in Abbott. You know, ignorance is a bad thing, you know. I have some interaction in certain places, and you see ignorant people bragging. There's an old man I know. I don't want to abuse the old man, but when he brags about he has done this, and I just say, ah, Oga, your problem is that you worked in Enugu all your life. You should have just gone to Lagos and worked in Ibadan small. I'm not saying you haven't tried, but shut your mouth. The problem is that you are not exposed. He's a little boy, you are not standing up and say, my father's farm. You know, Junior, who's the richest man? Daddy, you know that, you know, you have not gone anywhere else. No, really, I'm telling you, in life, don't sit down and be you are inventing the wheel. Not knowing that people passed the wheel, you know, long ago. They have been doing alloy rims. You know, people like Algie Lotto, you know, they already made machines that the engine of each one is inside the tire. You're sitting down here and say, one 12-year-old boy made a... The point I'm making here is this. Anywhere that is your airfield, the way to enlarge your vision, so that you stop seeing, you know, there's a way, like we used to say those days, there's a saying in Yoruba that, it's an expression, they say, those people, they don't bend corner. No, they bend corner. This is what it means. Joy is speaking. One, what is share corner? You know what I'm trying to say? You know what it means? If a man is going ahead of you, you are far behind him, but you can see his back. But it's not like the person has taken a curve. You can't see him again. You can't. So sometimes, some people are so far behind, they can't see the back of the people who have gone ahead of them. So they think they are ahead. Do you understand what I'm saying? Yeah, the man has not done anything. He's so retarded. He's so behind. So he looks to the front. Nobody. He looks behind. He sees some people. He says, yes, I'm the leader of the pack. Feeling very happy. Not knowing that he's one of the last in the race. If you are just taking a book and read. I was reading one edition of National Geographic. And they describe one great man in China of those days. How many of you know Vasco da Gama? You heard of Vasco da Gama? And then this other explorer, Christopher Columbus. They say all their ships could fit on the deck of one of this man's ships. I've forgotten the guy's name now. John Cheng something. That the kind of ships he used, the whole Vasco da Gama fleet, you put it, you fit on one, on top of one. But you know, on your moment, they make noise about Vasco da Gama and Christopher Columbus because they were not aware that men were building ships before him. What am I saying? Number one way to catch better vision: read. Let us know. Get informed. I mean, how far do you think Albert Einstein would have gone if he was still trying to find out that the acceleration due to gravity is equal to 9.8 meters by second squared? How far would he have gone? But the man knew that Isaac Newton and his contemporaries had done all those things. Differential calculus, Isaac Newton had done those. So he started from integral calculus. People like him, they started from somewhere. They could catch vision about atomic fission and fusion and all that kind of thing. Things that Isaac Newton didn't understand. Do you understand my point? You have been called to be a wealthy man. Listen, my friend, let it be that every book written by, what is his name? Warren Buffett. Make sure you read all his books, please. Tell him spiritually that the man is walking by the flesh. How will you know when you have not even read the work he walked? Because he didn't title his book, 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Do you get my point? Do you understand the point I'm making? Listen, that's number one. To enlarge your vision, make sure you read it. If you're an artist, be sure that you're not trying to invent collage again. Somebody else did it before you. That is why in scientific publications, you must give references. They want to know that you are not telling us what we already know. You get my point? They want to know. And once you start making statements that they've heard too many times, they will tell you, thank you very much, but there's nothing new in this thing. And if you're talking about enlarging visions, please at least know where other people have reached, so you can now go beyond that level. We'll continue from that next time. Let us pray.